Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, Second Class, August 11th, 2024, Romans.
I love that hymn, How Great Thou Art. I love singing at Bethany Bible Church when I was at Washington State University, and when my track coach in high school, Tracy Walters, asked me if I'd be his assistant director at a YMCA camp up in a little lake north of Spokane, Fan Lake, Camp Reed. He asked if I'd be his assistant director, and I said, well, what kind of camp is this? He said, a YMCA camp. And I said, well, I think they've dropped the C out. It's just a YMA camp. Why don't we put the C back in? And I said, why don't we have at the beginning a chapel at the beginning of every day where I can give the grace gospel to all those kids? And we had 200 kids there, 200 kids every day all summer long. And every week we get another 200 and another 200. Thousands heard the grace gospel. He said, I think that's a great idea. You be the one in charge. I said, okay, I'll be the one in charge of the chapel. Every day they heard the grace gospel. And we sang How Great Thou Art. And I sang at the top of my lungs, How Great Thou Art. And it was all right. I mean, you know, they're kids. They're just going, yeah, they don't know. So when I came home, I went to this, Beacon Chapel in Spokane. And the pastor there, Rolf Hansen, his son, Doug Hansen, was my pulling guard on the football team, and he was the best basketball player on our team. And his dad was the pastor of the Beacon Chapel. And so I'm there and sitting in the back, and Pastor Hansen looks and says, oh, we have Dick Olson with us here this morning. Dick, come on up and lead the song, lead the church in How Great Thou Art. Oh, crap. Oh, I got up there, and my mother was there, sitting in the front, and my sister was there. And so I started out. I didn't do too bad at the beginning, but then you get some of those, up there. And my mother goes, oh, no. And my sister is just... And right then, I said, I am not going to lead singing in any place, in any church. We are so blessed to have Randy and Danielle and Dodie. They make a great team. We have a great ministry, music ministry here, thanks to them. And you thank God every day. I'm not leading the singing. I'll make my son come up here and then I'll go, oh, you know. Oh, he's great. He, being working at the Venetian, he actually had somebody ask him to sing O Solo Mio or something. He gave him a great big, like, $100 tip. Hell, I'll sing it for $100 tip, you know. And the guy thought it was the great, he thought, what are you, Italian? He says, yes. Now, all of that free of charge, you get that. As we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name And therefore, the Word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 7, verse 25. Sounds like this so far. But thanks be to God, through the agency of Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself am serving the law of God with my mind, and now the last phrase, but with the flesh, the law of sin. This is the postpositive conjunction deaf plus the dative singular of sarx with the definite article plus the dative singular of nomos with the genitive singular of hamartia. All right, well, we have de, and you remember what I showed you. We have classical Greek here. What we have is the second half, men and de. This is classical Greek. On the one hand, oops, there's nothing else there. On the one hand, but on the other hand. So that's where we are here. But on the other hand. And then the verb doulouo has been left out. It's left out by ellipsis. But it must be supplied. So I am serving. And then sarx. And this is used throughout the New Testament scriptures for the old sin nature, S-A-R-K-S. Sarx, the flesh, literally, for the sin, referring to the sin nature. With my sin nature. And then namas, plus hamartia in the singular. Namas plus hamartia in the singular. In the plural, it's personal sins. In the singular, most of the time, the sin nature. Namas, hamartia. We have it in the singular. Sometimes it's the principle of sin. Other times it's the sin nature. So we have, but thanks be to God through the agency of Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself am serving the law of God with my mind, but on the other hand, I am serving the law of sin with my flesh, the sin nature. All right. One. As all throughout chapter 7, the Apostle Paul has been making it very clear that there is a continual battle that's going on inside of each one of us, inside of the believer. It's a battle as to who is going to control your soul. Are you going to live your life by the power of the Spirit of God, or are you going to live your life by the power of the sin nature? So he's all throughout this chapter, he's taught this again and again and again. A continual battle is going on inside the believer. Two, whom are you going to serve? The sin nature, the ex-husband, or the Lord Jesus Christ, the new husband? Whom are you going to serve? The old sin nature, the ex-husband, or the Lord Jesus Christ, the new husband? Three, the sin nature resides in the body and attacks the soul. But you have a guardian there. It's called a free will, volition. And all you have to do is say no to the temptation. That's it. All you have to say is no. So the old sin nature resides in the body and attacks the soul. 4, the Lord Jesus Christ also resides in the body and seeks to make himself at home in your heart. The Lord Jesus Christ also resides in the body because the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit makes your body a temple so that the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, can dwell there. So through the universal indwelling of the Spirit and every church age believer makes your body a temple so that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, can dwell inside your body. And the objective is he wants to make himself at home in your heart. 5, this is accomplished when you live the spiritual life, the unique spiritual life of the church age, and attain spiritual maturity. You grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you attain spiritual maturity, and the ultimate objective, you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ. He makes himself at home in your heart. So this is accomplished by living the spiritual life, attaining spiritual maturity, and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 6, God the Holy Spirit is the marriage counselor of our second marriage. He's the marriage counselor of the second marriage. 7, God the Holy Spirit indwells the believer's body, not only making it a temple for the indwelling of the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, but he indwells the believer's body also as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power to live it. That supernatural power is God, the Holy Spirit. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Keep on walking by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature and the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful. So God the Holy Spirit indwells the believer's body and is the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit so that you can live this unique spiritual life and so that the Lord Jesus Christ can make himself at home in your heart. And that glorifies God. That pleases the Lord. And that's why we're here. We are here to glorify the Lord. We are here to please the Lord. So God the Holy Spirit indwells the believer's body and is the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit so that you can live this unique spiritual life and so that the Lord Jesus Christ can make himself at home in your heart, occupation with Christ. Don't go away. I haven't prayed yet. Chapter 7 is in the can. I'm glad you got that there. We got some people that, you know. Now, chapter 8.
Yeah, baby. Here we go.
Romans chapter 8, by way of introduction. 1. Romans chapter 8, is now going to define, describe, and illustrate this newness of life of the church age introduced in Romans 6:4. Let's see if I put that away. I did. Romans chapter 8 is now going to define, describe, and illustrate this newness of life of the church age introduced in Romans 6:4. Therefore, we have been buried together with Him, Lord Jesus Christ, by means of baptism. The baptism of the Spirit into death, retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that just as Christ was raised out from the dead by means of the glory, the omnipotence of the Father, so also we, royal family, might live in newness of life. In newness of life. So Romans chapter 8 is now going to define, describe, and illustrate this newness of life of the church age introduced in Romans 6:4. 2. The plan of God for the church age believer is far greater than any condemnation that we received at physical birth. When we were born at physical birth, we were born physically alive and spiritually dead. At physical birth, the Adam's original sin was imputed to our genetically formed old sin nature. So we were born physically alive, but we were born in the status of spiritual death. So the plan of God for the church age believer is far greater than any condemnation at physical birth. When we are born physically alive, but in spiritual death as a result of the imputation of Adam's original sin to the genetically formed sin nature. 3. The plan of God is far greater than any sin or failure that we commit. The plan of God is far greater than any sin or failure that we commit, because all of our personal sins and all the sins of the whole world were imputed to Christ on the cross and judged in Him. Operation Grace, the cross. Jesus Christ solved the world problem of sin. So the plan of God is far greater than any sin or failure that we commit, for all of our personal sins and the sins of the whole world, unlimited atonement, were imputed to Jesus Christ on the cross and judged in Him. Operation Grace, the cross. 4. The plan of salvation is far greater than any personal suffering or adversity, or any historical disaster, or any problem of life. The plan of God is far greater than any personal suffering, or adversity, or any historical disaster, or any problem of life. This is all going to be covered in Romans chapter 8. Five. The new life, the unique spiritual life of the church age is far greater than anything we will face in this life. The new life, the unique spiritual life of the church age is far greater than anything we will face in this life. Six, when we live the spiritual life, we stay above life, above the problems of life, above the pressures of life. And the problems and pressures of life will never break us. Never break us. When we live the spiritual life, we live above the problems of life, and the pressures of life and problems of life will never break us. We may bend, but we will never break by the grace and power of God. 7. The plan of God for the church age believer is described in the doctrine of sanctification. And sanctification has three phases in the plan of God. Phase 1, sanctification, positional sanctification. We're in union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. Phase 2, sanctification, after salvation, experiential sanctification. Believer in time, living the spiritual life, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attaining spiritual maturity, and fulfilling the ultimate objective of having virtue, love brought to completion in our heart. Phase 3, sanctification, ultimate sanctification, the believer in eternity, living in his resurrection body for all eternity. So the plan of God for the church age believer is described in the doctrine of sanctification. And that's the first part of our outline of Romans. So let's get an outline of Romans chapter 8. Outline. Roman numeral 1. The new life, spiritual life, and sanctification. Spiritual life and sanctification. Romans 8, 1 to 17. So there's three parts to this outline, and the Romans 8, 1 to 17, the spiritual life and sanctification. Roman numeral 2, the spiritual life, the new life, and suffering. The new life, the spiritual life, and suffering. Romans 8, 18 to 30. Roman numeral 3, the new life, the spiritual life, and its challenges. Romans 8, 31 to 39. So the outline of Romans chapter 8, the new life, that is the spiritual life, and sanctification, Romans 8, 1 to 17. Secondly, the new life, the spiritual life, and suffering, Romans 8, 18 to 30. And then third, the new life, the spiritual life, and its challenges, Romans 8, 31 to 39. All right, so Romans 8, 1 to 17, the new life, the spiritual life, and sanctification. So in verses 1 to 17, we have the spiritual life and sanctification. Sanctification is a technical theological term for the status quo of the royal family of God in three phases of the plan of God for the church age. Sanctification means to be set apart, and the Greek word is hagiazo. H-A-G-I-A-Z, long O, hagiazo. So sanctification means to be set apart to God, hagiazo, be set apart to God for a special purpose, set apart to God for a special purpose. We, the royal family of God, are set apart to God for a special purpose. And we're set apart to God in three ways, from salvation to the eternal state. First of all, phase one sanctification, positional sanctification. And that refers to salvation, the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, at which point God the Holy Spirit, through the baptism of the Spirit, enters every church-age believer into union with the person of Jesus Christ. We are now positionally, all of us, in union with Christ. And that means, one, positional sanctification is the means of the formation of the royal family of God. This is the only dispensation where we have a royal family of God. There was family of God regeneration throughout human history. But as soon as we get to the church age, we're royal family of God. Through the baptism of the Spirit, we're entered into union with the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. We are royal family of God. So positional sanctification is the means of the formation of the royal family of God. You're all royalty. You're royalty. Royal family of God. What a blessing. This is a fantastic blessing for all of us in the church age. Two, positional sanctification is the means of the creation of a new spiritual species. Positional sanctification is the means of the creation of a new spiritual species. And this new spiritual species will utilize divine power. The omnipotence of God the Father related to our portfolio of invisible assets. The omnipotence of God the Son related to our perpetuation of human history. And the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit as the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Three, positional sanctification provides equal privilege. Equal privilege and equal opportunity for every church age believer to live the spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum. And that's why we're here. We're here to glorify God. We're here to please the Lord. So positional sanctification provides equal privilege and equal opportunity for every church age believer to live the spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum. We are here to please God. We are here to glorify God. Four, and positional sanctification means you have eternal security. Eternal security. There is no way you can ever lose your relationship with God. That's phase one sanctification. Phase two is experiential sanctification. This is living the spiritual life after salvation. After salvation, what? Experiential sanctification. After salvation, God wants you to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He wants you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. He wants you to attain spiritual maturity. He wants you to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And then phase three, ultimate sanctification. This is the believer in his resurrection body in the eternal state forever and ever and ever. That's the plan of God. That's the plan of God that he has for you. It's the most phenomenal plan. You think you have plans for different things? Your plans are nothing compared to the plan of God for you. The plan of God for you is the greatest plan ever. And it takes you from salvation to all eternity. And it's seen in this fantastic doctrine of sanctification. And in the first 17 verses of chapter 8, we're going to see this magnificent doctrine. All right. Well, we'll start here. See, we got into chapter 8. Got into chapter 8. You're ready to roll. Come back next time. We'll be ready to roll. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.